Romans chapter 12. This is the third time, this time, to be bringing messages from Romans chapter 12. And I pointed out to us that with chapter 12 begins the practical part of this letter. Up until this point, the apostle has been teaching, and now, because of the teaching, the doctrine, this is how we are to put it into practice. Since last week, I found this outline of the chapter I will give to us this evening. I think it's a helpful chapter or helpful outline in studying the chapter. A, what should be the attitude of the justified believer toward God? In verses 1 and 2. What should be the attitude of the justified believer toward God? B, what should be the attitude of the justified believer toward fellow Christians? Verses 3 through 13. And then C, what should be the attitude of the justified believer toward outsiders, including enemies? Verses 14 through 21. Now, we've looked at verse 1 twice, what our attitude should be toward God. Our attitude should be that we present ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. And we have seen that this is our reasonable service, being recipients of the grace of God. That is, being saved by the grace of God. Then this should be our reasonable service, that we would present our bodies, which means all of us, body and soul, that we would present ourselves unto God as a living and holy sacrifice. Now tonight, I want us to look at verse 2. And this, of course, continues our attitude toward God. Let's read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and let me mention now, this is speaking to brethren, to believers. It's not right to take the things of God and try to apply them to lost people. It's not right to expect lost people to live by the principles and the teaching of the Word of God, which is for God's children. This is for brethren, for those who know Christ, those who have experienced the saving grace and mercy of God. We can't expect a lost person to present himself, body and soul, unto God. That's a mistake, I believe, that is often made by trying to take the things of God and apply them to the world. And we'll see more of that this evening. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we are to do, that we may prove, that we may discern the will of God, which is good and acceptable, His perfect will for us. You know, there are principles given to us in the Word of God. You may be in a situation and you are seeking God's will in this matter, and you say, well, the Bible doesn't expressly have a situation just like I'm in. It may not. But there are principles that are given to us in the Word of God whereby we may find out and know, as believers, God's good and acceptable and perfect will for us. Now, there are three things in this text, three points I want to make. First, we must not be conformed to the world. That's the first thing the apostle tells us. If we would know the will of God for our lives, then first of all, be not conformed to the world. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Be not conformed to this world. Well, for us to understand what this means, I want us to consider two words in that statement. Two words, be not conformed to this world. Two words in that statement. The first word is the word conformed. Be not conformed. Now, this word that's translated here, conform, it's only used one other time in all the New Testament. It's only used in one other text of Scripture in all the New Testament. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. And let's hear how it is translated there. To believers, as obedient children, here it is, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, that is, in your unregenerate state. Not fashioning yourselves. The word, it comes from two words which literally means to fashion alike. Do not fashion alike. Figuratively, it means to conform to the same pattern. Do not conform to the same pattern. And the other word is the word world. So do not fashion yourself. This is, be not conformed to the world. Do not fashion yourselves. And the second word is the word world. Now, you know, the word world is used in many different ways in the New Testament. Arthur Pink, in his book on the sovereignty of God, has an appendix in there where he shows that one word, which is translated word, is used seven different ways in the New Testament. And that's important because many times people just see the word world and they think, well, that's everybody. Todo el mundo. No, it's not. Not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes the word world, that Greek word cosmos that's translated world, means the earth. The world, the earth that we're living upon. So when the scripture says the whole world went after Christ, we know that cannot mean every single solitary person because there were many who were against him. But here's the point. Here's the point. The word that is translated world here is not that Greek word, cosmos, which is translated world in other places, but is the Greek word aeon, meaning age. Age. And I think if we look at a few verses where this same word is used, it will help us to understand what it is that we are not to fit, not to fashion ourselves after. First of all, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember, this is written to believers now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Fashion yourselves not according to this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, the same word, aeon, which is translated world, is here. It says, in whom, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, the God of this age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world, the God of this age, fashion yourself not according to this world. How is it that Satan, the devil, how is it that he is called the God of this world? This is God's world. This is Jehovah's world. Jehovah created this world. God created, Elohim, he created this world. This is his world. How is it then that the apostle speaks of Satan as the God of this world? Well, let me mention again how this is so. When God created man, you remember when God created Adam and placed him in the garden, as we read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, that Adam was created holy. He was created in the image of God. And his loyalty as a holy man, his loyalty was all to God. He was loyal to his Creator. He was loyal to God Almighty. But when man sinned, when man disobeyed God, he fell, of course, and his loyalty now was no longer to his Creator, but his loyalty now is unto Satan. He is the God of this world in that sense. And that's the reason the Apostle John in his first letter, chapter 5 and verse 19 said, "The whole world lieth in wickedness," or "the whole world lieth in the wicked one." Every person who comes into this world, as we are born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins, we are under the power, the dominion of Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "If the Son shall make you free," he's the only one who can. The Lord Jesus Christ, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He's the only one. He is the stronger one who defeated Satan, the god of this world. And he is the only one who is able to deliver Satan's captives. In the preaching of the gospel, God calls out his people, saves his people, and men are delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, taken out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom over which Satan, the god of this world, rules, and we are translated into the kingdom of God. Let me show you that. Look in Colossians. I believe it's Colossians. Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks, chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that is, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, God, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All men are in one kingdom or the other. Either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of his dear Son. When we come into this world, we are all under the power of the god of this world, the kingdom of darkness. Now, be not fashioned, the scripture here says, do not fashion yourself according to the dictates of the god of this world. Be not conformed. Do not fashion yourself according to the dictates of the god of this world. Just remember this. Just because the majority sees something to be right, that doesn't mean that it is right. And all of you young people here, you want to do something, your parents say it's better that you not be allowed to do that, and you come back and you say, "Well, everybody's doing it." Oh, that's one of the oldest things that children have used for years and years. Everybody's doing it, you know. All of our friends are doing it. Well, have you ever stopped to think that maybe God has placed you in a home with parents who love you more than your friends are in a home where parents maybe don't love their children as much as yours do, so they allow them to do these things? They allow them to go to these places. Participate. Do not fashion yourselves according to the god of this world. The majority, well, the majority is not always right. The majority cried out, crucify him, crucify him. That was the majority opinion. Crucify him. So that's the first scripture. Do not fashion yourself according to the dictates of the god of this age, the god of this world. Remember, he is the prince of the power of the air, and he is the prince of darkness. Number two, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have this same word translated world in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of this age, nor of the princes of this age that come to naught. Well, since the Apostle Paul in this passage, he is speaking of the gospel, let us recognize that the wisdom of this world, that is the gospel of this world comes to naught. Do not fashion yourselves according to the gospel of this world. What is the gospel of this world? Well, basically, it is that man is his own savior. That's basically, I mean, it has a lot of different forms, but that's what it all comes down to, that man, by his doing whatever, he saves himself. That's the gospel of this world. Don't believe that. Don't fashion yourself according to the gospel of this world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel. The gospel, excuse me, first of all, of substitution. Of substitution. That Jesus Christ died in the stead and the place of his people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of satisfaction. He satisfied God on behalf of his people. Do not fashion yourselves according to the gospel of this age. All right, look in Galatians chapter 1. There's another place where we have this same word. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Do not fashion yourselves according to the character of this world or age. What is the character of this world? Well, here it is. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil. E-V-I-L. Evil world. That's the character of this world. Do not fashion yourself according to the character of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And one other place, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and this is in the parable of the sower. And this tells us, verse 22, this tells us about one who received the word. The seed was sown, and this one received the word. But notice what takes place. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. The care of this world. Do not fashion yourself according to the cares of this age, which will choke out, as we see here. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word of God. Do not fashion yourself according to the cares of this age or this world, because these cares will choke out the word of God. And what are the cares? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? That's what most men spend their lives. That's all they're dealing with. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we be with what shall we be clothed? That those cares. We have needs. We have needs of food, of drink, and of clothes. But we are to trust our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things." But most people spend their time with these cares, and it chokes out the word of God. Don't fashion yourself according to the cares of this world. I read this past week this statement from a pastor. He's since gone to be with the Lord, an English pastor. But he said this. He said, "Many people believe on Christ who do not believe in Christ." You say, how is that possible? Believe on Christ for salvation, but yet we do not believe Christ when he tells us that he will supply our needs, that we are not to be anxious for these things. If we are anxious for these things, he says we are like the Gentiles. And in that context, of course, unbelievers. We're like unbelievers when we allow these cares to so consume us, as in this place, to choke out the word of God. He has told us he will supply our every need. If we are his children, I have four children. You have, some of you men here, you have children. And I know this is true of every one of us. If we see one of our children have some need, we'll do everything we can, if it's a legitimate need, to meet that need. How do we compare with our Heavenly Father? How much more our Heavenly Father? Do not fashion yourself according to this world, the cares of this world, that which takes up the time of most people. Remember, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And he's talking to believers when he says that. He's not talking to unbelievers. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All what? Food, clothes, drink, whatever we have need of. So first, be not conformed to this world. Now, the second thing we read here is, be transformed. Be transformed. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word translated transformed is a Greek word, metamorpho. I'm sure I don't pronounce that right. But literally or figuratively, metamorphos. That's the word that both Matthew and Mark used when telling about our Lord's transfiguration. When he went up on the mountain, he was transfigured before them. Metamorphos. And here are two things about this exhortation. Now, we all know metamorphosis, the butterfly, and all of that. It goes in a caterpillar, not very pretty, is it, a caterpillar, but comes out a beautiful butterfly. Metamorphosis. Here are two things about this exhortation here. "But be ye transformed." He uses the present tense. It's not like you experience this, and that's it. It's a one-time experience, and that's it. That's all in the past. Now just go on to something else. It's like that scripture that says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is present tense. Be being transformed. And as long as you and I remain in this world, believer, as long as we remain in this world, we are to be being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the first thing we should notice. It's in the present tense. And he doesn't say, here's the second thing, he doesn't say transform yourself. But be ye transformed. In other words, this is in the passive voice. The only other scripture that uses this word metamorphosis. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this helps us to understand the meaning here. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, that is all believers, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's our place. Now, the word glass, of course, here means mirror. Mirror. And the mirrors they had at that time were not anything like the mirrors that we have. The mirrors were burnished brass. And when you looked into them, you would see an image and there would be a glow about it because it was from the metal. But we all with open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, notice, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from glory to glory. This is not something that you do, you have an experience, and then you go on to something else. No, this is to be true of us as long as we remain in this world as a child of God. We are to continue beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, we are changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. We would equate this also to Peter's exhortation to but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by continuing to behold the glory of Christ. And as you continue to behold the glory of Christ, then we are changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory. This is the experience. And here's the last thing, the promised result. If we will follow this direction, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this shows us that God's children, for us to know God's will, we need more than just our conscience. You know, people sometimes, they used to at least, I guess people still do, they say, well, let conscience be your guide. Well, for a child of God, we have a conscience that's been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. There's no doubt about that. But our conscience, even as children of God, it must be constantly, as one author said, be sent back to the school of the Scripture, to the Word of God, to receive instruction by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the will of God, notice, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God, which is revealed to us in the Scripture. If you're seeking God's will, and I've heard people say this before. They prayed about something, and God led them to do something that was in opposition to the Word of God. I've heard this be told about preachers. They want to do something, so they pray about it, and even though the Word of God clearly tells them no, they say this is God's will. No, it's not God's will. It's not God's will. God's will never contradict the written Word of God. We have the revealed Word of the revealed will of God in the Word of God. And as I said, there are circumstances that you may find yourself in and needing to know what is God's will for you in this particular situation, and you may not find it spelled out in the Word of God to take this job or to move here, not to do this, not to do that. But what you will find principles in the Word of God that will show you the will of God for you. And it will never be against the written Word of God. God will never reveal to you something that's contrary to His Word. You know, if you look back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, this is a verse I'm sure most of you are familiar with when we read it. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. We talk about God's secret will. That belongs to God. That belongs to Him. And we will know it as it is worked out. But, notice, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The revealed will of God is the written Word of God. The secret will of God, that's His business. We don't know that. We see it worked out, and we know it, but God will never reveal to you to do something that is contrary to what He has revealed to us in the Scripture. That which is revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law, of this book. May the Lord, I trust, bless His word to those of us here tonight. God, enable us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and that we be not conformed, that we do not fashion ourselves according to this world, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Let us sing a verse or two of a hymn, and we'll be dismissed.